Welcome on in, folks, to ESPN West Palm today, and I'm about to welcome in a special guest. This is Dr. Mark Eskenazi. He is through the Palm Beach Health Network down here in South Florida. He specializes in spinal disorders. He's a big J-E-T-S, Jets fan. We'll get to that here in just a second. He's a little bit into the World Cup. I've been teaching him some World Cup stuff here before the interview. But Doc, welcome on in, partner. Always a pleasure to speak to one of you guys here down in South Florida.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Now, Doc, when it comes to spinal disorders, what do you think is the most common issue that you see that you might treat when it comes to spinal disorders here in South Florida?
Sure. So probably by far the most common problem is lower back pain. Followed by neck pain. Lower back pain is sort of a catch-all phrase for people with back issues. Not all back pain is created equal. Some people have run-of-the-mill back pain. Some people have back pain associated with neurologic symptoms like sciatica, pain that shoots down the leg. Some people get tingling, numbness in their legs, weakness in the arms, numbness in the arms. So it's really up to the physician to kind of figure out what exactly the problem is. Is it just run-of-the-mill back pain, or is there more to it?
Now, Doc, what are the most common things that lead into back pain? Is it maybe playing sports when you were younger? Is it just wear and tear of the everyday? What do you think are the most common things that lead into this?
Sure. So it could be occupational. I've had plenty of former NFL players in my practice. Especially older guys were spear tackling, they get really crappy necks. Mm-hmm. So you can see, older football players develop bad necks, develop bad backs, as well as other orthopedic issues, obviously. Other than that, a lot of it's just genetics. Bad luck, blame your parents for it. Some of it could be, obesity plays into it, but really it's really just bad luck, genetics, and then if you have some sort of occupational issue.
Dr. Mark Eskenazi is our guest here on ESPN West Palm today, spinal surgeon, spinal pro. Now, Doc, obviously you do it all. You do the surgeries. You treat patients. What are some of the ways, maybe post-op, that you treat your patients? Like, is it like a guy like me, if I have a back injury, I want to get going as soon as possible, Doc. Like, obviously, I would have the surgery with you, but I can't sit still. I have crippling ADHD. So, like, walk me through what post-op looks like for most of these people that you treat with back issues.
Sure. So it really depends on the scope of the problem and the scope of the surgery. Some surgeries are relatively minor, relatively small, and the person can be back to playing golf or tennis within 4 to 6 weeks. Some people require bigger surgeries, and they're really, off the court or off the golf course for 3 months. So it really depends on the scope of the problem and the scope of the surgery required to fix that problem.
And then, Doc, as far as activities that you see folks doing down here in South Florida, is golf the leader in that? Like, what are these activities that your patients are trying to get back to that you see the most?
Yeah, probably golf is number one. And golf is pretty crappy for your back, especially if you have bad body mechanics. So people with underlying lower back issues tend to aggravate it with golf. And I tell my patients, you're not going to cripple yourself playing golf, but, it's going to aggravate it. You're going to have more pain if you play, 18 holes instead of 9 holes. If you play 4 days a week instead of twice a week, it's going to cause pain. Post-operative patients or patients with significant problems, they say you might want to kind of temper the golf enthusiasm.
And that's probably hard to tell somebody that, especially, that they're down here. It's so funny moving down here to South Florida. Everybody golfs. Now, granted, I grew up playing golf. Thank God I grew up, working at a country club or whatever, but it seems like everyone wants to golf. Do you golf, Doc? Are you golfing yourself?
I play tennis.
You're a tennis man.
I wouldn't call it golf that I play. I hit the ball with the golf club.
We're all mere mortals, Doc, compared to some of the stuff that we see on TV. Now, maybe for someone listening who is dealing with back pain, they don't necessarily know what to do, what the steps and what that looks like. In your eyes, Dr. Eskenazi, what if someone is listening with back pain, what do you think the first steps should be?
Sure. So the majority of back pain is self-limited. It's just like spraining your ankle. It might hurt for a day, 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. I typically tell patients if it's more than 7 days of back pain, get it looked at. Yeah, just make sure there's nothing structurally wrong. Because generally speaking, there's non-structural back pain where you just kind of sprain your back, or something structural, like where you messed up a disc or you have a pinched nerve or what's called spinal stenosis or something more significant. So usually if it's going on for more than a week and you've tried taking Tylenol, Advil, taking it easy, have it followed up with the physician.
And then what's the age range that you see yourself kind of treating the most down here in South Florida?
By virtue of where I work, down in South Palm Beach County, it's a little bit of an older population. So I have, I'd say the majority of my patients are 45 and up. Although I do get younger patients, most of them are, 40s, 50s, 60s and up.
Dr. Mark Eskenazi, a doctor through the Palm Beach Health Network, a spinal surgeon, spinal pro, is our guest here on ESPN West Palm today. Now, you said you treat a plethora of kind of people, your everyday guy, your NFL players. Is there a case that really shocked you, that stuck with you, that maybe you've treated before as a spinal surgeon and a spinal specialist?
Sure. So I do a good amount of trauma surgery over at Delray Medical Center. It's one of the trauma centers for the county. And every day that you're working in the trauma center is a surprise. Yep. So you see some crazy stuff, things that you don't read about, things you don't learn about. I've seen multiple things over the 26 years I've been working there, and it still surprises me.
Yep. And it keeps you humble. Am I right on that? It kind of keeps you humble and thankful for some of the blessings that we have.
It keeps the job interesting for sure. And it really keeps things in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Now, Doc, on a lighter note, you're a Jet fan. And I know you.
I wouldn't say it's a lighter.
Listen, you're talking to a lifelong and native of Cleveland. I don't think my team will ever be good. I'm 31 years old. I'm hoping my grandkids get to see a winner. I don't have a girlfriend and I don't have any grandkids, Doc. You get what I'm saying? But the direction the team is going, do you like it? Is they a lot of draft picks, a lot of young players, not necessarily a quarterback for you guys this draft? But certainly, I think a couple of things to look forward to maybe as a Jet fan next season.
Yeah, so we got a rerun, I guess, with Geno Smith, right? So it looks like he will be the starter as of today. And they did well with the draft. They probably had one of the top two or three draft classes, I'd say, right? They got this guy Bailey, good edge rusher. They got Sadiq. They got a couple of wide receivers. So I've been a Jets fan since I was probably 5 years old. My dad was actually a sports writer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he wrote for the New York Times for 40-something years. He wrote the Jets.
Gosh, he was on the beat.
So I've been a Jets fan since I could I could walk and talk. So I've been going to the games. I went to every game in Shea Stadium until Shea Stadium was shut down.
Yep.
And, in the probably 50 years I've been a fan, how many winning seasons have we had?
Oh gosh, partner. the Jets that I remember that were good, Pennington, Mark Sanchez, Rex Ryan, oh God, Herm Edwards. Like, partner, this is, now granted, I'm 31. This is when I was a teenager.
Right.
I feel your pain and it's like looking on the other side of town, you got the Giants and they've had their trials and tribulations as of late too. Maybe Harbaugh turned them around, but it's like, you saw them win Super Bowls in the early 2000s, Eli Manning, them taking down Brady. Is that rivalry real when it comes to Giants and Jets fans?
It is. It doesn't help that they play in the same stadium also. It's Giants Stadium, so it's not good for one's ego. There's always...
Which is crazy to me, too, with all the money that the owner has and, he's down here a lot. You think that he would want to build a stadium, Doc.
Yeah, I guess you could put one in Manhattan, but it's going to create a traffic nightmare. Maybe put one back in Queens.
Yeah, please. New York trying to build infrastructure there. Listen, partner, I'm a yeehaw from the Midwest, all right? These are things I don't understand, but...
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a lack of space. But I guess probably the last good season I can remember, I went to the AFC Championship in Pittsburgh, and I guess Rashad Mendenhall ran all over us.
Oh, gosh.
He had like 150 yards in the first half, something crazy.
2010, 2011?
It was 2010.
And then the Packers won that year. That's what it was, yeah. Mendenhall, gosh. But listen, at least you got that.
Yeah.
I've never had a playoff game at home during my lifetime, partners. So listen, two miserable sports fans and Browns and Jets fans. Now, Doc, I mentioned to you World Cup's going on. The one thing you can't explain to me again what you're confused about with the time here, because you can't seem to grasp the first and second half stuff, and I want to settle that here on air.
Okay, so I don't. So American sports, you got basketball, football, hockey, basically any of the main sports except for baseball. It's all about clock management. Things are timed to the 0.01 second. And here you kind of just add a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there. Mm-hmm. They're not like, hustling to get the ball in bounds. I just don't understand maybe that's a deeper philosophical issue between Europe and America. They're a little more chill than we are. We're a little bit more intense than they. You could look at it that way,
Doc,
too.
Doc, listen, you're not wrong on that because I have family in Sicily. My great-grandparents immigrated over here during World War II, and I have family in Sicily. They say the same thing. You guys are always in a rush. We go and my family goes to visit some, and they're always in a rush. So now let me explain this, the world football side of it. They're taking their time because they're going to get extra time. They're taking the time throwing the ball in because at the end of the half, they're going to get time added on. You play 40 for 45 minutes, and then you get what is called extra time. So all of those, the referee is keeping in mind all of the stoppages, the VAR, the video review people, they're keeping in mind all these things going on, and they add on extra time. This game right here that you know, no names please, that's going on right now during Dr. Eskenazi and I's interview, probably going to be 8 minutes of extra time from my blind eye, from the 2 minutes of the hydration break and all of the stoppages. So that's the best way I could describe it. That time that they're taking lollygagging and stuff, that gets added on towards the end of the match. And the best part about a football game, say it's a 2-1 game, a 1-0 game, and the team that's behind, they're trying their damnedest to get a goal, and that's what we call the dying embers of the game. Sweaty palms time, mm-hmm. as I like to say. We've had, in this World Cup, we've had over 20 extra time goals, which has been incredible. It's been theater. So that's the best way I could describe the time. It's getting taken into consideration by the referee. But you are right. I mean, I'm known for being punctual. That's my thing. I like being punctual. I like being on time. I like going by a schedule. My European family members do not operate that way. And I'm sure you've visited all over the world, partner. You know better than anybody probably that we are a cut above when it comes to being on time.
And the great floppers also.
Yeah.
They're all great floppers.
The sniper in the stands. The sniper in the stands. Listen, Dr. Eskenazi, appreciate all the time. Appreciate you coming in here. You're welcome on the program anytime. And thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Mark Eskenazi, spinal surgeon, spinal specialist through the Palm Beach Health Network. We're coming right back here on ESPN West Palm today.